The following is a special presentation from WCHL News, winner of the Edward R. Murrow Award for Excellence in Journalism.
The presenting sponsor of today's forum is the Town of Chapel Hill's Economic Development Office, which works to attract and retain businesses and jobs in locations convenient to transit and housing, all in an effort to build a sustainable economy in which to live, work, and play. Businesses that have recently opened or expanded in Chapel Hill include DSI Comedy, Google, Kiona, Petco, and Youth Digital, bringing an additional 100 jobs to Chapel Hill. Chapel Hill is open for business, open to business, every day of the year. Economic development in Chapel Hill, right on the edge of the Triangle.
It's the 2015 WCHL Community Forum, presented by the Town of Chapel Hill Economic Development. This hour we discuss the changing face of Carrboro, and it begins now.
Carrboro is changing rapidly, so is the town as a whole. What ought to be our long-term vision for the Paris of the Piedmont? I'm Blake Hodge, your moderator for this hour. Joining me, six wonderful panelists: Splinter Group co-founder Steve Balcom, Carrboro Alderman Bethany Cheney, Carrboro activist Jackie Helvey, owner of Carrboro.com as well, Chapel Hill Carrboro Chamber of Commerce President Aaron Nelson, the architect behind the Carrboro proposed Carrboro Arts and Innovation Center, and on the board of the Arts Center, Phil Sostek, and from Main Street Properties, Laura Van Sant. Thank you so much for everyone joining us for this discussion on the changing face of Carrboro. And kind of what we've done so far is to start out with everybody going around the table and saying what they feel like is the biggest issue, challenge, obstacle, whatever it may be, facing the town, or just the thing that you think is most important going forward. So let's start with that again as we turn to Alderman Bethany Cheney.
Well, I think as relates to development, it's certainly the fact that we have a number of projects that are either being built now or will be built out soon, or that are in the pipeline, and it is changing the landscape a bit in Carrboro, particularly around downtown. And to some folks it's alarming, to others it's welcomed, and that brings about a lot of change management challenges for the town, and that's certainly what the Board of Aldermen seems to talk about a lot these days.
And now moving around the table, Laura Van Zandt with Main Street Properties.
Well, we tend to focus downtown with our 300 East Main development, and I think Carrboro's, I wouldn't call it a crossroads, but Carrboro is a great opportunity, has great opportunity right now. There's potential to have a new and larger art center, a new downtown library branch, bringing Kidzoo to Carrboro, a new hotel in Carrboro, and a few other things on the table. And I think if all this can happen, I think it could be a great thing for Carrboro, and a lot of people are working hard to try to make that happen. And I just think we're in a really fortunate position to potentially have all these things downtown.
A lot of things going on in one place there. Steve Balcom with the Splinter Group, thank you for joining us.
Thanks.
And what would your first topic there be?
Well, I mean, I think Carrboro is changing. We all know that. I think one of the things I'm particularly invested in is how do we keep Carrboro's Carrboro-ness and how do we protect what Carrboro is while also taking advantage of all that's coming our way. The whole triangle's changing, so I think, for Carrboro, the first step has really been to forge its identity and to create a brand for Carrboro, and then I think now we're in this process of managing that growth.
And Aaron Nelson, we convinced him to stick around from the Chapel Hill hour, so now to the changing face of Carrboro, president and CEO of the Chapel Hill Carrboro Chamber of Commerce.
Well, I thought Steve put that exceptionally well. Carrboro right now is an incredible brand. It has an incredible reputation. It is funky and interesting and cool and foodie and all of the things that are really exciting. Downtown's exceptionally walkable. And Carrboro's experimented and approved some new projects that didn't do anything to diminish any of the awesome Carrboro-ness of it. And so I think fears have been put aside by some really new, exciting projects. And we are as excited about Carrboro. We have 100 members that are in Carrboro, 100 businesses, and they are feeling very positive and have a very positive outlook right now.
As our Ron Stutz always likes to say, it's always 1 degree cooler in Carrboro. Phil Sostek joining us, joining us as well. Thank you so much for contributing to the discussion here.
Thank you. I like what Aaron called Carrboro as far as, I mean, it is a funky place. It is a different place. It's a very special place, and I've been working around Carrboro since the early 80s. And one thing that's always been there is change. And there's always been a lot of discussion about change. Not always good, not always bad, but it is changing. But I love the creativity there, and I think there's a lot of towns around the country that are jealous of what we have in Carrboro. It's the special place. The Arts Center, which I'm on the board, has been changing rapidly. You know, we've doubled our participation there, or people that we bring through our doors since we opened. And right now we're over 100,000 people a year. You know, Carrboro's growing. People are coming to Carrboro.
And Jackie Helvey, purveyor of Carrboro.com, thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you. Well, I've been around for a lot of the changes, and my greatest fear is that Carrboro loses its funkiness, and the people like me, you know, who are there and who have helped build it, are now getting older. I do fear getting older and not being able to afford to live in Carrboro anymore. I think that's a real thing. But as far as development goes, you have to have it in order to grow and to raise taxes and all of that. It's just a delicate balance, mm-hmm. keeping everybody happy, keeping the small town feel, while still getting maybe some benefits of growth for everybody.
And managing that growth is a continuous, always in the thought process of town leaders. So we'll go back to Alderman Bethany Cheney here to talk about that challenge. What's the biggest obstacle in trying to keep the scales balanced without tipping to one end and then maybe Carrboro changing in a way that the residents of Carrboro aren't looking forward to?
Well, I don't think growth and meeting residential needs or desires are necessarily mutually exclusive, and I think Aaron's right that it hasn't necessarily been so to date, although there were certainly fears about that. But I'd say there are two things. One is, in general, the economy and how it both influences the way people in Carrboro and those that visit Carrboro demand certain services or certain products or certain things, and also the pace of development. So at one point we had, I don't know, half a dozen projects that had been approved and in the pipeline, and 2008 to 2012 happened, and a number of those things didn't actually happen, and withdrew their applications or their permits. I try to imagine what it would be like if, in fact, all those projects had happened and had happened all at once. It would be a very different place than it is now. So in some ways, the economy has worked in our favor, as we've seen an increasing level of tension between maybe what the development community wants to see and what residents, particularly around downtown, feel like they really want to see too.
What is the status of that now then? You said six or so had been approved and just kind of sat there.
So we had we've had a couple that have just fallen by the wayside. Mm-hmm. We don't know what's going to happen with those particular properties, but the permits aren't moving forward. And then we have a couple that sold their properties in lieu of developing what they planned to develop, and then we have a couple that are moving forward. So Shelton Station is one project that was really approved after the 2008 crash, but has been slow to get online for all sorts of reasons, including economic ones. But we're expecting to see Shelton Station break ground sometime this year.
Whenever everybody was going around the table earlier, the funkiness of Carrboro, the identity of Carrboro, was something that was brought up several times, and some of the things that are integral to that are the Arts Center and Cat's Cradle. Proposal for the Carrboro Library has been something that I know that you have been very behind, Jackie. So Steve, what are the thoughts behind some of the businesses like Cat's Cradle specifically? I know that we've talked a lot about that in the past whenever the Arts and Innovation Center was being proposed. What are the thoughts on that from that perspective of some of those longtime businesses that have built the identity of Carrboro that may not be feeling like they're getting what they were told they were going to be getting several years ago?
Well, I don't think we have enough time for that today. But
you can give us a little bit.
No, I mean, I think Cat's Cradle's been in Carrboro for over 21 years. Mm-hmm. I would I would guess that if you were to ask people who don't live in this area if they know what Carrboro is, if they did know what Carrboro is, they would say it's because of the Cat's Cradle. It has that kind of cachet. Frank Keith, the owner, runs a great business, and he's been in Carrboro for a long time. He would love to stay in Carrboro, but he can't just make that happen. There's a lot of factors that have to lead to that. So, you know, I know it's his intention to stay in Carrboro. He's turned down offers from many other places throughout the Triangle, developers who've been interested in him going to Durham, to Chapel Hill, and to other places. So, and I think everybody at this table would love to see him stay in Carrboro.
What are some of the economic impact portions that were discussed? I know that the Arts and Innovation Center was something that was kind of a long process going back and forth with the Board of Aldermen, and with Cat's Cradle being involved as well in that area. And Phil is the architect of that, also on the board of the Arts Center. What was the driving force behind that, and then where do we stand now? I know that the Board of Aldermen said reset, not reject, was the catchphrase from that meeting, it seems like. So what is our status for that?
Well, we've definitely reset the proposal. Now there are several working groups meeting, including the county this time, and staff from both the county and the town are meeting together, finding out new information, bringing that information together, looking at process and schedules, and really starting the analysis of how do we do a new art center with Kids Zoo, with mm-hmm. the library, even as a possible co-location site. So it really, there's just so much going on now, and I think we're getting the people to the table. So when we do come back and have a solid proposal, it'd be something that everybody understands and everybody's been part of making those decisions.
Yeah, I think Jackie, the biggest issue was that people felt like this was sprung on them. It was a surprise. You know, we hadn't heard anything about it. I know there was a lot of discussion on Facebook about where'd this come from, and I actually met with Laura, and she explained things to me, and I think you're doing it the right way now by going through the process, and it's not that we don't want a new art center. We do. You know, we just want to know everything before it happens. And that's not too much to ask, I don't think. And that's why we have people like Bethany. You know, we elect people that we trust not to move too quickly with things and to really find out what's going on before anything gets approved. And I appreciate that very much, and I know the citizens of Carrboro do.
Well, thanks, Jackie. I certainly, I'm glad to know that things are still moving forward in some respect, and I think I was the unfortunate coiner of the phrase reset, not reject. Sorry about that. I am excited about the possibilities. You know, there are a lot of questions for me and a lot of questions, I think, still for the partners to work out. But I think one of the most exciting things about the potential partnership is the idea of a lot of little feet in downtown Carrboro, because it's something that we miss on a day-to-day basis is our children, you know, don't have a whole lot to do in downtown, and Kids Zoo certainly would bring some daytime traffic, while the Arts Center would appeal to nighttime traffic as well as daytime learners. So it sort of evens out some of the attraction, the appeal of Carrboro, which is really heavy on its nightlife, but you know, could use a boost sometimes during the day.
Well, from WCHL, we have to say thank you for Reset, Not Reject. It made a great headline for Danny's story. Aaron Nelson.
So I agree with Jackie that we have to take appropriate time, but let me also say that there's an adage, and it's time kills all deals. And so what I worry about, though, is there was a long history. 7 years ago, when I was on the Arts Center board, we were having joint meetings with Kids Zoo to talk about merger, joint stuff. Independently, those two organizations really struggle. Co-location, mixing them together, I think it's going to be exceptional. But I fear a little bit of, so we need a process, but I fear too much process. We know that we would act quickly for things that we know we want. If Cat's Cradle said, I need in 2 months this thing done, we would leap at it because we know we want them. If we decide that we want to boycott Burma, we don't have to have a long process about it. We can just quickly take action because we know it comports with our values. part of what I'm hopeful for Carborough is that it does a little more pre-planning, form-based code, other things where you say out loud first what you want. You could have long ago said what you wanted on that corner. You could long ago say what you want across the street from 300 East Main. But we had people coming who wanted to buy some of the stuff on the other side of 300 East Main, and I call around and say, what does the town want there? We have no idea. Bring us a proposal, we'll react to it. And I think we'll not get what we want in Carborough if we wait for the developer to propose it. But if we can say out loud what we desire, we're more likely to get it. So I'm excited to take a time out, but then call time in fast, because I worry that I want to make sure everybody's still around to do the deal when we're finally ready.
And Aaron, just to follow, you were just in here for the Chapel Hill Development Hour whenever they were just talking about implementing form-based code. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but did it seem like there was a little fear there that Carborough may be following?
Well, I think Asheville is probably something that form-based code gets you what you want. Chapel Hill used form-based code to accelerate development. Asheville uses form-based code to protect some things it really loves. Carborough could use that, where they say in advance, this tall, this wide, this like, this windows, and say one big community process, and then the developers would know what they wanted and not be shocked when they showed up at council. Sometimes you don't get great architecture from folks like Phil Shostak if you do your form-based code, so you might leave some unique places. But I fear too much process. Some things take a really, really long time.
Laura, you had your hand up?
I would just follow up a little bit with what Aaron was saying. Carborough's adopted plan right now and vision for downtown Carborough, and I think maybe even beyond downtown, is this Vision 2020 plan, which was adopted a number of years ago in a process similar to what Aaron just described. I think that with turnover on the Board of Aldermen since then, I don't get the sense that there's necessarily a lot of buy-in with the current board to follow that. And so it may be time to revisit that so that the Board of Aldermen and the rest of the community in Carborough can discuss and tell developers and others this is what our vision for Carborough and give something, have some kind of template out there for people to follow. And I agree that would lead to some better projects that fit in with the community.
Bethany, would you like to follow on that?
Yeah, I think both Aaron and Laura make some really good points. And the Vision 2020 document, I think there's a lot of buy-in for certain aspects of it. But I think that what we've learned in the past, 10 years working with that document is that it was imperfect and that there were some tensions within it, competing priorities. And it is a vision document and not a comprehensive plan. Aaron's absolutely right that every community really needs to be doing a better job at pre-planning, because developers want to know what you want. They don't want to throw spaghetti against the wall, and it wastes a lot of time and money for them. It wastes our time and our money, too. Mm-hmm. So we are talking a lot now about how we can do at least some small area planning, and there are some things in the works that are heading in that direction. Mayor Lavelle has already started to engage some folks around discussion pertaining to the lot that's on the corner of Main and I'm sorry, corner of Greensboro and Weaver Street, which is what people call the CVS site. That's a perfect example of a conflict that could have been avoided if we had much more prescribed plans and visions around what we want to see in that intersection. So we're going to start working on that really shortly, and I think that we'll learn from that process.
Jackie, would you like to, you were nodding along, and I know that you're very much into the planning of things.
Yeah, I can foresee that becoming another Rogers Triumph, where we slowly watch it decay into a pile of rubble. It's well on the way now, and I live around the corner from Rogers Triumph, and I have watched that place degrade for the last 20 years. It's been burned out. It's been graffitiized. Do something with this property. Why? How do owners get by with that? That's what mm-hmm. I'd like to know. Mm-hmm. Isn't there something that says you can't let rats gather? That place is a mess. I don't know if you guys have been down there, but I've walked down there and taken pictures, and it's disgusting. And I know, a couple years ago there was this proposal to redo mm-hmm. the property, and then they build all that stuff up behind there. There was already a water flow issue. Yeah. I mean, things like that just drive me nuts.
Well, you will be happy to go to the public hearing that is next week then, because there will be a discussion of the concept that is being proposed there at that
I've
property.
I've heard a little bit about it. The roundabout at the entryway?
I can't say a whole lot about it because I'm sort of under lock and key. It's a quasi-judicial decision we're making, so I can't really comment about it. But I can say that there's an interesting proposal, and I can say, too, that the alderman, and I think all the town, is really interested, as you are, in seeing something productive on that site. It is essentially a brown field. It is an incredibly difficult site to redevelop. It's going to take a lot of investment, already has. So we want to enable that to the extent that it's practical and works for the neighbors.
It's a huge piece of property.
It is. It's quite large. Yeah.
Aaron Nelson.
Someone was thinking of relocating a business to the area, and I did one of these prideful drive-around tours where I'm so excited about what I'm going to show them. And I'm talking the story of Carrboro, and I'm coming down, and we pull past Rogers Triumph, and then up to that corner, and we stop at the light, and there's the CVS fenced off. And the story that I told about Carrboro was undermined instantly by
by bad landlords.
It was really surprising, and fresh eyes on it was really surprising. I talked about walkable, and then we went by gas station, auto mechanic. And I was like, no, it's really walkable. The people just bring their cars here to work on them and fill them up, but everybody else is on foot. So from outside eyes, it was really interesting to get that feedback. And there's places in Chapel Hill and all around where, when it's seen by others, So what I'm hopeful is there's a sense of impatience. Progressive folks are permissive, generally. So I am one, and we are permissive. We let people do the stuff they... But sometimes we need to be impatient and impermissive when the behavior of some is to the great detriment of others.
Phil, you had your hand up.
Yeah. Having practiced around Carrboro, I think I know what the town says it wants as far as heights and scales and streetscapes and everything like that. But it's not real until it gets in front of the entire population for discussion. We've had plan after plan after plan. First project in gets clobbered. And so you got to just, that's who we are, is we're going to talk about things. We're going to define it as we go, as we can really understand a real project. I think it's really hard for us to, form-based code in Carrboro would be, I think it'd be a waste of time because it'd be too much buy-in on too much detail for that. I think you got to bring a project up, hold it up in the air, and turn it around, let people see what it is, and let them make some decisions. Go back and write new code if needs to happen. But I think it's part of who we are, is to discuss it.
Laura, would you like to add anything on from the 300 East Main Street side of things?
Our project, when we were coming through the approval, was actually pretty popular. There were people who were opposed to the generic concept of five-story buildings. We were the first ones to come through with that. But specifically 300 East Main did not actually raise a lot of objections. Despite that, it took 4 years to get approved. I used to tell people, I wonder what they do with projects they don't like. So I can, it is, as Phil said, you know, people are always going to come out of the woodwork and throw mud at something and say, I don't like this, or it's going to be too many people, or it's going to be this, it's going to be that. I think sometimes the decision makers get too bogged down in that, in some of those details that people bring forward, and lose focus on the big picture. If the town says they want A, B, and C, and someone brings forward A, B, and C, don't let someone else come up with a few little nits and just grind everything to a halt. I don't think that serves, certainly doesn't serve the developers' goals, and I don't think it serves the town's goals either. The town wants good development. Most developers want good development, especially in Carrboro. We're very fortunate where most of the people active in development are local people. These aren't people coming in from out of town who just want to make a quick buck and get out. We're people who live here and plan to continue living here, and we don't want to do something that really stinks and everybody hates. And despite that, it's still a really, really tough place to do business.
Aaron, you had your hand raised.
Well, the PTA Thrift Shop said the same thing. What do they do with projects they don't like? I mean, we are local grown. We are redeveloping. It's going to be sustainable and beautiful. So why is it taking so long? And not just approval. There's a lot of pushback or dissatisfaction in terms of once approved. all the processes for permitting and inspection and engine, et cetera. And those can take a long time. Sometimes I've seen in progressive communities when we go to other college towns, we're somewhat repulsed by what we desire. It is macabre. We want it, we don't want it. We want to look, but we think it's gross. And so it's we shop at Target but don't want one. We think the density along transit corridors is good until we see it. We want a walkable, dense, but the height in our neighborhood we don't like. And so those pushes and pulls are really tough. Downtown's going to bear some of that out. I'd be interested in talking a little bit about the rest of town. We have this whole northern area, mm-hmm. the opportunity for commercial district, neighborhoods growing up north that are so different than the traditional mill village of Carrboro, and how you see that. How we see those things mixing and matching on the future growth of Carrboro.
Bethany, did you have your
or Steve, with respect to brand on yes. Carrboro's sort of brand, which you work so hard on, is all going to be part of it?
It is all part of it. I mean, when we worked on the brand, we talked to communities and stakeholders, and the stakeholders in this case are, you know, almost anybody who has been to Carrboro, lived in Carrboro, works in Carrboro, visits Carrboro. I mean, you just go across the map. I think
you got two whole minutes, Steve.
Okay.
You're good.
No, I think it's all part of Carrboro, and it's part of what makes Carrboro Carrboro. But I think, you know, when I think about development, and I'm not a developer, so of all these people in this table, probably you and I have the least amount to do with this. But what I see is a spirit of creativity and a spirit of entrepreneurship that Carrboro has always had. And I think that's what makes Carrboro, the downtown of Carrboro, really special. And even though 300 East Main has introduced some new businesses into the mix, I think it all works, you know. It's all working right now. And that's good for Carrboro. I think that bodes well for Carrboro, is that a Hampton Inn can come in and be embraced by the community and works into what Carrboro is. When I look at development, and I know it's hard, but I do think people listen, you know, and the board has been very good at engaging with the community.
Is it going to be, this may be too large of a question for 45 seconds here, but is it going to be too hard to maintain that level of, that brand of Carrboro artsiness and funkiness that everybody loves, but also developing some sort of commercial tax base that can serve everything else? We've only got 30 seconds, so maybe we can ponder that and get into it in the second half here as you're listening to The Changing Face of Carrboro here on the 2015 WCHL Community Forum. And if you do have questions, feel free to submit them on Twitter. Use the hashtag WCHL Forum, and we will get to a few of those if we do have time a little bit later on this hour. This is Blake Hodge, and we'll be right back.
WCHL thanks the Town of Chapel Hill's Economic Development Office for presenting our 2015 Community Forum. The Economic Development Office works to attract and retain businesses and jobs in locations convenient to transit and housing, all in an effort to build a sustainable economy in which to live, work, and play. Chapel Hill is open for business, open to business every day of the year. Follow them on Twitter at CHEconDev. That's CHEconDev. Economic Development in Chapel Hill, right on the edge of the triangle.
The Aveda Institute Chapel Hill will host the 2015 Earth Jam Fashion Show on Tuesday, May 5th at the UNC Friday Center. The event celebrates the art of film through fashion and beauty and benefits the Water Institute at UNC Chapel Hill's Gilling School of Global Public Health for the protection of safe water, a basic human right. Proceeds will contribute to improving access to safe water, sanitation, and hygiene for all. Call 919-960-4769 to reserve your tickets now.
Hello, this is Sharon Hill, president of Sharon Hill International. Join me this Saturday and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. for today's business with my guests, Dr. Bigby and Dr. Garibrandt, co-owners of Ignite Wellness Chiropractic Center. Join us as we discuss how you or your children could be damaging your health by being glued to technology. That's Saturday and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. right here on 97.9 FM, 1360 AM, WCHL, your news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Welcome back to the 2015 WCHL Community Forum presented by the Town of Chapel Hill Economic Development. Thanks to our sponsors, Orange County Government, Coleman, Huntoon & Brown, the Chapel Hill Carrboro Chamber of Commerce, Jersey Mike's, and Durham Technical Community College. Once again,
Here's Blake Hodge.
Big This Hour is the changing face of Carrboro. I'm joined by our panelists Steve Balcom, Bethany Cheney, Jackie Helvey, Aaron Nelson, Phil Sostek, and Laura Van Sant. And interesting discussion. As soon as the mics go off, we have another area that we break into. So, Aaron Nelson, let's let you start this section with 54 corridors.
Well,
you were just talking.
If the topic is the changing face of Carrboro, just one item I'll bring. When I was a student, graduated in '97. All the apartment complexes on the 54 corridor, Carolina Apartments, Kingswood, down to Abbey Court, which is now Collins Crossing, which then was called Old Well, were all student housing. And one of the ways that we've built, one of the fastest ways that we've added workforce housing to our community is by students moving out into new product, and it's been backfilled by workforce housing. So the 54 corridor is now a great, wonderful workforce housing opportunity in some of the older apartment complexes. But the folks that live there is just of such a very different group of folks than Carrboro builds some of its brand on downtown, nightlife, dining, organic farm to fork, you know, all of those things are enjoyed by many of the folks that live there. But I want to talk about we have several different pockets of Carrboro that are all growing and currently working well together. But what is sort of the future of that, or a comment about how to integrate new immigrant populations or blue-collar working-class populations into a very highbrow entertainment foodie place?
I wouldn't call Carrboro highbrow by
helping.
Any stretch. I mean, you've got nice restaurants and everything, but we designed it. Being on the arts committee all the years that I was, we designed every festival to be free or low cost. We put them on Sunday so that the Latino population would come out. We specifically did things so that the people of Carrboro, nobody would feel left out. It's not just a bunch of hipsters, you know, walking around downtown. I'm pretty far from that. But I mean, there's more to it, and we designed it to be inclusive. That's why it is. I mean, you can't plan, you know, it's organically happens. When you start something, and you have an intention in the beginning, you know. When we did the music festival, we didn't even have the support of the town. We did it through volunteers. You know, you have to want it, and you have to want to maintain it.
So Bethany,
I think I can think of four things that would be helpful in sort of integrating different parts of town together. The first thing is continuing to invest in and improve on our public transportation system so that people that are living in sort of that's harder to get to downtown or enjoy even some of our other cultural nodes or commercial nodes can get to them. The second thing would be to really focus on the Jones Ferry and Greensboro, South Greensboro Street corridors, and try to make those more productive so people that live on the highway can also enjoy them and connect those better to places like Willow Creek Shopping and Carrboro Plaza. The third is doing a really quality project at Lloyd Farm and getting that going. I don't remember what the fourth thing is, but I can tell.
Those are three really good ones.
But my goodness, they were, yeah. So I absolutely agree that, I think that Carrboro has made a very good effort to recognize its diversity and the diverse pockets of life in town. But sometimes we do get a little excited about downtown at the expense of the folks that live in, say, the northern part of town and whose gaze is really turned towards Durham, you know, or turned towards Mebane if they're going to shop or if they're going to drive to a workplace. It's off of 40. It's not off of 54. So we need to be mindful of that, and I think we are, but I haven't come up with the best ways yet to make sure that we don't lose our opportunities to create a tighter Carrboro.
Aaron, Bethany just mentioned Lloyd Farm, and you had talked about that a little bit during our break that we had at the bottom of the hour. It's such an interesting area there with the proposals of Lloyd Farm. What if you a dream come true?
My dream come true is you say no or you say yes and let's move along. The town of Carrboro loses $50,000 a month in tax revenue from when it was built out. So let's say you finally approve something similar to what was proposed 3 years ago. We've done it, switched it a little bit. It's going to be a $100 million property, and it's $50,000 a month of lost opportunity. And so sometimes those months are really well spent because we're going to fix stuff. Sometimes those months are not well spent. It's 3 months before you get back to the developer. There's some time in there, months and months of time, that were not well spent, and other months. And now we're at a place where we've sent them to negotiate with each other. That's a brilliant idea. 3 years ago, that would have been an even better idea. So what development community tells us is, we just want to know the rules, tell us what it is, and then say yes or no quickly, please, so that we could move on with something else.
I think that gets back to the point about pre-planning. So it's the permit process itself that creates quite a bit of delays, and we're bound to that process. So one thing that I would like to see happen, particularly when a developer has a creative idea that requires what's called a conditional use permit, a process is triggered, you know, the minute that a concept and an application is submitted to the town. The aldermen are on lockdown, and we can't speak independently to the developer, we can't speak independently to the community in any substantive terms about a proposed development. It would be much better, I believe, that if a mediation process or a facilitated process happened before that permit application was even made, or was built into the permit application right up front, so that expectations and values and concerns were aired from the very beginning, rather than when you're a year into a concept process and it turns out there is something pretty major that needs to be changed, or the economy shifts and some new aspect has to be built into a project that wasn't anticipated before. You know, it would really reduce that level of uncertainty for everybody.
Agree.
And as much as I'd love for us to be a lot more nimble, you know, we would love to be nimble, and I think every person on the board and every person in every neighborhood would say, yeah, you know, I think we need to move faster until there's a development that's right next door. And then that's when everyone wants to slow down that has a real stake in that development, and we feel it. We feel the pressure on the board, and we take it really seriously.
And Phil, you've been nodding.
Yeah, I really like that idea about the early process. I think that's what we just did with the Arts Center. I think if we would have started the Arts Center on a typical process with a submittal, and we couldn't talk to anybody, we never would have even got to the reset button. It would have been killed. I think I am convinced that the Arts Center going through this process, because we brought it up, said, hey, how about a new Arts Center? Everybody said, hey, great idea. Until they say, okay, what does it look like? Mm-hmm. How do you pay for it? And you put these things out there, and now we have the community got behind the process. And I think that could happen on pretty much on every development if there was that process that would allow public input and public discussion and having that dialogue. Because now I think we know what the Arts Center could be, and I think we know what a process is. And it's not it's going to be the same thing that we presented. Mm-hmm. It's going to be very different. It may not even be on the same site. But we at least heard concerns, and now we can solve the problems. And solving problems are easy if you know what the problem is.
So what are the next steps for that then, as far as the proposal and some of the projections coming with that?
Well, we're going to go back up a little bit and look at different sites, mm-hmm. and see if there's other sites that fit better. We kind of examine the co-location of the library. It made a lot of sense once we started talking about kids at Kid Zoo and library reading rooms and all these kind of things that were going together, and what was at the Art Center. Sharing some places and maybe even making the building more efficient because the library is there, and sharing costs and sharing spaces. And so we need to examine the efficiencies of the building and then examine how we're going to pay for it. And I think now that the county's involved, everybody's at the table that can pay for it, including, you know, the public. So, you know, I think it's the right thing to do, and we're on our way, and we just need to keep focused and keep it going. And we have a schedule that we're following and public meetings that we've already scheduled every 3 months. And I think that in the same schedule that we were looking at, or maybe a little bit longer, of July 2016, we should have a better idea of what we're going to put on the table.
Aaron?
Well, I, I think that it's so interesting the way that you said that, Phil. By blurping it out and getting the quick reaction, you were able to save yourself 16 months of public hearings, only to find out at the end nobody wanted it.
Exactly.
I think the development agreement process, which is now legal in North Carolina and some municipalities are flirting with, and how Chapel Hill is doing Obi Creek, the development team on one side, the entire alderman on the other, and a negotiation for hours and hours and weeks and months, all that back and forth and horse trading, all that stuff can happen. Then they can talk one-on-one afterwards. Then the citizens, it's wide open, not quasi-judicial. I think they're getting a lot more of what they wanted from that. I think sometimes we don't calculate opportunity costs, and I'm sorry to call it $50,000, but that's what it is, and it was just tweeted about. And, you know, you could fund, I think it's four teachers in a year for every...
Where does that figure come from?
It's $100 million is what its assessed value would likely be at the end. And Carbro's tax
rates... Explain which development you're talking about.
Lloyd Farms. Yep. Lloyd Farms went over will be worth, if approved, $100 million might be what that's worth. Carbro's tax rate is 53 cents. That's $500,000, $530,000 a year that the town of Carbro would take in from that project. The county gets... more than that, county gets $1 million a year from that project, and the school system gets $250,000 a year. So every month you wait, just divide that by 12 and say goodbye to it, because you'll never get that back. So some of those months are well spent, but sometimes it's not. When you can't afford a town engineer, 3 months was enough to fund the engineer for 2 years. So some of those push and pulls don't get discussed in the name of great process, which I'm not objecting to. I'm just saying, though, it has its limits.
I think they do get discussed, Aaron. They just may not get discussed on the radio all the time.
Is that a number that you guys say to yourself? Or in alder people meetings, but I
agree with you that sometimes it's hard to know what those opportunity costs really are, though, too. You know, we certainly hear different figures from different developers about what economic drivers will be produced out of a particular development, and we listen to that, and then we hear neighbors say, but the cost to me is... increased flooding, is, you know, a street that's not going to be safe for my child, is, you know, a dirtier environment, and those are real costs too, and that's, I think, why sometimes you hear us get into elongated discussions that I wish were compressed too, but I have had personally discussions with our town manager and planners who are top notch about needing to compress the time from application to the time something gets permitted and in the ground.
And we've looked at that very carefully.
We've had developers that have worked in tandem with us to look at the timelines and see where are we really faced with barriers. What's on us? And what's on the lack of preparation on the part of unseasoned developer, for example, or a mistake, or an engineering issue, or a DOT issue that can tie up something for six months that's not ours, to deal with. So I'm not asking you to cut us a lot of slack, but we are talking about it. We're not dummies in those rooms thinking that we couldn't do a better job getting to yes.
Well, I appreciate that. And it's not unique to this project. There was a Habitat neighborhood where we let for a year and a half the neighbors stone the project. And this is a project we wanted as a community. We decided. The town even sold the land. This is in Chapel Hill. to them. And then for a year and a half, we suffered a minority position only to say, are you finally done complaining? Because we're going to say yes no matter what. Yeah. So sometimes we suffer the minority position too long. That we listen to it long enough. But then at some point we're going to say, we're not building this for you, and we're sorry that you're unhappy, but there's 20,000 people who live in this town, and we're real sorry, but we're moving along. And that's a tough spot, and you guys have to stand and look at them in the eye when they talk to you. But I so appreciate your articulation that you're aware, and I know that you, in particular, as well as some of your other aldermen, are working on it.
Thank you.
Jackie, do you think that it's kind of a dangerous game there of waiting too long, and then into the planning process.
You know,
as well.
Bethany was talking about how long everything takes. It's within your power to change that as the Board of Aldermen. If you think the process is, you know, or too slow, you have the power to, you know, I don't understand why you don't rewrite the rules if the rules aren't working.
Well, some of the rules aren't ours to rewrite, and some of the process that is required, say, advisory board review, is a logistical matter that is very difficult to correct for. We have, dozens, a hundred volunteers, that come from the community that sit on our environmental advisory board, our transportation advisory board, our planning board, and they meet sometimes twice a month. We meet every week. We can't ask them to meet every week.
Right.
And sometimes that's where the backlog is. There's a lot of stuff moving through the pipeline, and it's sitting in our advisory board process, and we need that process for us to have quality projects. Sometimes it's DOT. It's some kind of state or even a federal issue that that holds up a developer, that holds up our decision-making because it's not within our control. But there are times when, we could have a more efficient, paper-moving process. And just so you all know, we're going to be adopting a new software package this year, and it's in our budget. It's a project management and permitting process that will now be entirely electronic, and we are thrilled about this. And I can just see Phil drooling right now.
Blow before it gets passed.
So that will help. But we are looking for ways that we can perfect the process, and this is not unique to Carrboro.
Right.
Steve, Laura.
A quick follow-up. I think the people who serve on the advisory boards for Carrboro and presumably Chapel Hill too, but I'm not as familiar with them. They do a great job. I know when 300 East Main was coming through, they obviously thought a lot about the issues. They made some great suggestions, some good constructive criticism. But part of the process that perhaps the board could change is that process can bog down too. There was one advisory board in particular that always had a difficulty getting a quorum, and we were held up for months sometimes at part of the process
because they were
supposed to make an advisory recommendation. They never had enough people where they could officially do that, and we just had to wait. And are they going to have a quorum next month? Well, we hope so. But they never knew till that night, and how many people actually show up. And that's the kind of thing I think that the Board of Aldermen, you can't go out and grab people from their homes and say get to this meeting. But it's at some point if the board can't get enough people there to make the recommendation, should they perhaps forfeit the right to do
or
that rather than hold something else?
Well, there are some cities where failure that you have 60 days to get your comments back from the boards, and the boards can't do it, you're moving along without the boards.
Well, and you're required to show up to those meetings. You can only miss so many, and you're off the board, supposedly.
And we have both of those things going on. We have a limitation for how long comments can get back, and we certainly do have a process for removing board members. The quorum issue, we actually just talked about this on Tuesday night. We're all really concerned about particular committees having a full pipeline, and we're going to revamp the way that we recruit and move people through the process to be approved for various advisory boards. But all you Carrboro listeners out there, we're always in need of really good applicants, people that are willing to spend some time on sometimes what is really boring material but makes a big difference for the town. So we certainly would appreciate some hands raised so that we can recruit you for your service.
One opportunity on the volunteer side is to open up. Right now, both Chapel and Carrboro, but Carrboro says you have to be a resident of the community to serve in many capacities. We don't make you be a citizen. Citizenship we don't care about, residency we do.
Mm-hmm.
You'll sometimes have property owners who may own a great deal of property, or CEO of a company downtown, or the manager of the hotel, who would be a great member of your committee but are ineligible. Phil Shostak cannot serve. I actually don't know what municipality you live in, but I may not be able to serve, though very interested. And so taking a look at who's eligible, we were very ecumenical to throw off the citizenship requirement. We might want to think also about whether property ownership can qualify you to serve and not just residency.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion. I know that we do have several committees that do have people from in the ETJ or in other parts of the county that are even appointed by the county. Our Economic Sustainability Commission is not isolated to residents of Carrboro. Business owners, even no matter where they live, can serve on that committee, and there are others too, but that might be a thing to think about for us too. Yeah, thanks.
Steve, just curious, whenever you're talking with the businesses that you represent with Splinter Group, are any of them concerned about any changes that are coming in the pipeline for
Carrboro? I think, one of the one of the big concerns, and it kind of plays to this development, is parking is the thing that is discussed fairly regularly with our clients. No, I think we have probably about a dozen clients in Carrboro that really love Carrboro, that are proud of Carrboro, and we have a new Carrboro Business Alliance that's meeting regularly to kind of foster more communication amongst the business community so that businesses can work together.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing to me sometimes that, you know, a store two doors down doesn't really know each other. So we're trying to kind of bring those people together and to act as a group, and that group is putting on certain events. And so I think in most of our Carrboro-based businesses love being in Carrboro, and they're trying to stay in Carrboro. They do get sometimes to a point where they can't stay in Carrboro, and I think that's something that the town is addressing, and it's a priority of the town to try to make it a friendly place for local business. And I'm not just talking about restaurant and retail, I'm talking about more, you know, just a standard, mm-hmm. you know, creative business.
And Bethany, with that being kind of the heart of Carrboro business, we've had some that have been there for a long, long time, how do you balance that need with the requests from citizens that may want more bigger or chain retail, things like that? Mm-hmm. How does that balance?
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't have people pounding on our door for a lot of, you know, chain fast food, for example.
Right.
But we certainly have people saying, look, you know, we're lacking in particular retail sectors. I can't buy sheets in town. Mm-hmm. You know, where? How do I do that? You know, we're not going to build a little Walmart on the underneath Main, like
we
like
could build
Chapel
it under
Borough,
the hotel.
But you know, the truth is, we're six square miles. We have very few parcels that are undeveloped at this point, and those parcels can only accommodate a certain amount. We need to make sure that we are as diversified as possible, and that doesn't preclude us from having some business ownership that isn't entirely local. But I think we do have to be mindful about creating a mall kind of atmosphere in mm-hmm. any of our parcels. Nobody wants that. But we, you know, we hear time and time again that we're maybe not striking quite the balance that some folks are looking for. But there's a healthy tension there, mm-hmm. and I want it to remain healthy. But eventually reduce it. But escalating it any more than it is now, I think, is would be problematic.
Aaron?
Yeah. I think Steve brings up a good point on parking. When we reduce supply, we can encourage people to use alternate modes of transportation. It works at the university. If there's nowhere to park and you got to go there, you'll find some other way. But it doesn't work very well in retail centers. Folks really struggle to shop groceries on buses, although they will. And it also can be a real struggle, particularly, I think Carver's problem right now isn't about nighttime use. Folks will find a place to park, and it's all free. But the daytime office use, this is growing more of a problem. And the people who are coming in don't live within the service area of the transit system. So every morning, 4,000 people, this is what the census says, 4,000 people drive into Carrboro from somewhere else to work. And every morning, 7,000 people wake up in Carrboro and drive out to work. Only 550 people wake up and work in Carrboro. Jackie. And so that wake up and work in Carrboro can use transit, can ride their bike, can do some other things, but finding really, if we're going to grow that commercial sense downtown, looking at parking. I know there's going to be a study. I think mm-hmm. we thought about starting that study 8 months ago. It's not started yet. It's soon coming.
There was a reason for that. Yeah, in fact, we just approved the, are almost to final approval of the RFP that will
and
go
that's
out.
That's yeah. that mm-hmm. a little bit of impatience is what I'm impatient
it
for.
It was money, Aaron. It was money.
If you had said how much, I bet we could have raised it. So I think
Aaron would have given it to you.
there are folks in great need for this issue. Mm-hmm. I'm not being critical about it, but that is an interesting challenge on all that commute shed.
Mm-hmm.
Really,
yeah, because that parking deck's already full at 5 o'clock on Friday night. I can tell you.
Oh yeah, you know, I sort of have dreams of like an Airbnb for parking spaces. So.
You
right?
could totally Uber.
You know, if I'm leaving great my idea. Driveway, then somebody else can park in it while I'm gone, right?
I love that.
So
I love that.
I think that would solve a lot of our problems.
We look forward to working with you
yeah.
on that.
is this open kind of just for anybody that wants to jump at it or are there any creative ideas that you've heard about in Carrboro to maybe have a different way of increasing a little bit of the tax revenue from a business standpoint that got you excited that you hope is able to go forward other than the Airbnb for parking space? anyone at all?
Well, I got to bring up the Arts Center since right. the economic impact of the arts is such a a great way for us to grow our towns. I think that the Art Center, and just looking at the number of people that are using it, and bring in the Kids Zoo project, and brings more people downtown. Yes, you can talk about parking, but it's the people that want to come down there that's bringing the economic impact. It's not limited to just parking, and we are not parking. Now, we're a town, and that's kind of a lowest common denominator. The process is the lowest common denominator.
But it has to be figured into the equation. You know, it's unrealistic not to figure it into the equation.
Well, you got to figure it into the equation, but where is it in the importance of who we are? I don't think it's very high up in the list.
Who we are, but if we are bringing these droves of people to town from out of town, we have to have a place for them to park their vehicle.
That's a very solvable problem.
I think it is too.
And all it is let's just solve it.
Like Memorial Hall, there's nowhere to park anywhere near Memorial Hall.
And they sell that thing out.
Yeah, that's right.
It has to be somewhere walking distance.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'd rather, you know, we've talked a lot about process, we've talked a little bit about parking, but I think we still are Carborough, and I think we're going to be talking about these things even more. It'd be nice to get some things done, get off that list of just kind of tasks that we have to take care of.
Right.
And then we can talk about the art centers and the innovation districts and those kind of things that I think can push us along our way in defining, you know, the town and the people and how we're going to continue being who we are.
Last question is from Twitter, Terry Turner. This is for Bethany Cheney. Is there a place that the public can be updated on the projects that are in the pipeline?
Yes, sure. On our website, we do have an active projects list that is kept on our planning and economic development page. And you can get a brief synopsis of where projects are in the pipeline. Unfortunately, we don't have ready yet, but we're working towards this, the ability to really dig a little bit deeper into documents along the permit process and construction process so people can get more information. But always check our planning board agendas, too. If you're interested in a particular issue, come on out and join in on those meetings.
You've been listening to The Changing Face of Carborough here on the 2015 WCHL Community Forum. Thank you again to all of our panelists for joining us today. Splinter Group co-founder Steve Balcom, Carborough Alderman Bethany Cheney, Carborough.com purveyor Jackie Helvey, Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber of Commerce President and CEO Aaron Nelson, the architect behind the Arts and Innovation Center, also on the board of the Arts Center, Phil Shostak, and Main Street Properties, Laura Van Zandt. Thank you so much once again. You can hear this and every other hour of today's forum on our website, chapelborough.com. They'll also be re-airing here in the next few weeks on WCHL. I'm Blake Hodge. Thank you for listening.